again and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. As usual, I've pulled all the stops out the bag to give you a brilliant lineup with me, Matt Guidi. Of course, the Open Goal top man, Simon Ferry, is alongside us. Another game tonight, Simon, another midweek, another big one.
I don't know what I'm talking about, mate.
Who is it tonight? Who are up to Peterhead against?
Peterhead against, any. But get back 3 a.m.
But by the way,
she'll be wanting.
What another good result for you at the weekend.
I have a flying, mate. Beat Stirling. Stenny and then Montrose on Tuesday, so if we'll come in there too, we've gave us a right good chance.
And the fact that you've kissed and made up with Jimmy Mack, getting back onto the
back
right
to
road,
mates,
that's it, isn't it? You're getting them right in the road for promotion, that big bonus. I can't wait for the end of season night. Simon takes us all out with his promotion money. And beside Simon, we welcome back Andy McLaren, Dundee United, Reading, Dundee, Morton, Ayr United,
Kilmarnock
as well, William, one of his great careers. Kilmarnock.
Every night club in Glasgow.
Andy, good to have you with us again.
Cheers, Matt.
So we've got a brilliant lineup for you today and we're covering some great subjects, so stick with us for the next 45 minutes. You don't want to be anywhere else. We're going to speak about the derbies over the weekend. We'll touch back and reflect on the Hibs v Hearts derby, a victory for Neil Lennon's team on Friday night, and on Sunday at Ibrox, a victory for 10-man Celtic against Rangers. Decisive results in the different races that the clubs are involved in. We're going to speak about Jamie Carragher, incident, the Sky Sports man in the spotlight, in the eye of a storm after his spitting incident. We're going to speak about West Ham as well, the troubles there at the club, the fans invading the pitch. And we will speak about the Scotland squad. Alec McLeish, the new Scotland manager, picked his first national squad, and we will look through that in terms of some of the names that are involved. So, as I say, 45 good minutes, so stick with us. So, Friday night, we'll go straight to Edinburgh. Simon, Hibs 2, Hearts 0, deserved victory for the Hibs?
I think so. I think second half, first half there wasn't much in it, but second half I thought Hibs really battered Hearts. Hibs had a lot more legs, I thought, especially going forward, pace with Boyle and the boy that scored the second goal, whereas I thought Hearts looked quite slow with Lafferty and Naismith. Two good players, but I think that sort of game, I didn't think it suited Naismith especially. I thought he looked his age, you know, playing against the young boys, and I thought McGinn and McGeoch were excellent in the middle of the pitch for Hibs. I didn't think Scotty Allen had a great game, but his little bit of quality decides the game, you know, whereas
The goal they scored, Andy, was something special.
Yeah, great finish. Yeah, technically brilliant. It's a hard one to take, that ball's coming across him, and he takes it back across, and I think the keeper's unsighted as well, because when you first watch it, you think the keeper's poor, but I think he gets through a few legs as well. But as I said, I think Hibs were well worth a victory.
And a sweet one for Hibs too, you know, the supporters brought out the, you know, natural order banner. It was a chance, and you know, the quote that stuck out for me for Neil Lennon, bearing in mind the gap now between Hibs and Hearts, you know, Neil Lennon says Hearts are now irrelevant to us in terms of this season. Quite a statement from Neil Lennon.
The games that I've seen this year, I think Hibs are miles ahead of Hearts. I think Hearts have got a lot of making up. I think they need to sign a lot of good players to get back.
Which areas in particular would you strengthen?
Midfield. I think the wee boy Cochrane's 16, they're hanging their hat on him to play every game. And you see guys like McGinn and McGeoch, who have been a bit for years. Mm-hmm. I thought it was men v boys in the middle of the pitch. I think Naismith was dropping back in. I don't think that's his natural position. But Hibs going forward, their pace is ridiculous. Boyle on one wing had the wee left back doing the Canadian band dance. And the two strikers were great, I thought.
I think it suits Hibs as well at their ground, because they've got a better surface, I think. The last derby at Tynecastle was really poor because of the surface, I think. I really fancied Hibs on Friday because they've got a decent surface there and they can pass the ball about. I think at Tynecastle, the last game, it was very scrappy and bitty, and I think that suits Hearts better than it does Hibs, you know. So I think the surface had a big part in it as well.
And over the Pete, in terms of if we look at both managers, Neil Lennon, first season up, terrific job again, you know, you'd imagine they're going to be in fourth place, if not third, you know, they're going to push for that spot. And then you look at Craig Levein, who came in, had the clean sheet record for 3 months, really solid. Where do you see both managers in terms of the job that they've done over the past few months?
I think Lennon's done a great job, but he's going to have the problem that your Jackie McNamara's and your McInnes's have every year, is I think he's going to lose his best players in the summer. How do you replace a John McGinn and a Dylan McGee?
Do you think both of them away?
I think they will go. I think they'll get offered good money elsewhere, down south, whether it be down south or for McGinn, maybe Celtic. I don't know, but be very tough to see how they replace him. And for Hearts, as I say, I think they need a lot of new players. I don't know whether Levine's the man to take them forward. As you say, he had a great start, but recently I'm not impressed with Hearts when I watch them. I don't think there's any sort of idea of how they play.
I think
I think he's went in there and sorted out the defence and he made them hard to beat. But that's only so much of the game, you know. You've got to, that'll get your results up to a point, but then you've got to, especially at Tynecastle, you've got to be able to open teams up as well. And I think that's where the problem is, you know. I think they'll get plenty of clean sheets with Bear and things at the back, but going forward,
there's no many exciting playing for Hearts, is it?
No.
On just picking up on Simon's point there, Andy, you know what it takes to play down south and to survive in the game at a high level. Has John McGinn got all the attributes to become a real top draw player?
I think aye. But he'll not go down there and play automatically, I don't think. You know, he'll go down there and maybe need a 6 month or a year, and down there you don't get that thing. Yeah. You know, that's a problem you've got, you know, because you've got to get in there and adapt, because Simon will know you get in there, and it's the physicality, you know. You don't realise how bigger and stronger that the players are down there, you know. So although John McGinn's kind of big and strong and physical, I don't think down there that would work, you know. So
is he a Brendan Rodgers type player?
I think he could play here, I think he could play at Celtic. Where, I don't know, because he's quite similar to Stuart Armstrong for me. You know, powerful runner, gets into the box. I think Celtic could be looking for maybe somebody to replace Bruni long term.
Yeah, actually.
I didn't see John McGinn as that sort of player, if I'm honest. So I don't know, it's a hard one. I think he'll end up down south, if I'm honest. I think somebody down south will take him.
But Bruni was that sort of player. Bruni wasn't the sort of player he was now when he first came to Celtic. Bruni would probably be the exact same. You would say box to box and getting about, and he's had to adapt his game, you know. So good players do that, you know.
So
good players can. He'll maybe come here, if he came here and maybe. Because if you go, Bruni's maybe got 2-3 years left. Mm-hmm. What age is he now? 34?
32, 32,
well, 32,
I think. Well, he's you get at least two, I would say.
Aye. Yeah. Well, because a couple of years ago he was getting right off and told he was finished, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. And that was, I always found that a bit strange, you know. He was still young at the time. And
speaking of Scott Brown, that takes us nicely, could be like there, Andy, I like that, takes us nicely to Sunday's Old Firm game. And Scott Brown, he's after match interview, he said, oh, we prefer to do our talking on the park. All the noise was coming from Rangers, but we just reminded them basically of why we are the champions.
I thought it was a great game. I must have enjoyed watching an Old Firm game for years. I thought he was different class again. Every big game this year, whether it be in Europe or the Rangers games, I think Scott Brown's been head and shoulders for me. And I thought Encham played really well as well. I thought they two in the middle of the park were really good. I was impressed with Rangers as well, going forward especially. I think when the big boy Bates went off and the big man Cardoso came on, it was curtains for Rangers, to be honest. Him and Alves at the back didn't really seem to work for me. And Celtic stepped up a level when they went down to 10 men. And fair play to the manager to bring on a striker when they're down to 10 men, and his bravery paid off.
What do you think of Rangers' performance? And they must have certainly been, you know, been given a lot of optimism and hope for the future with the level of performance, and you think about it, the width of a post from getting a point.
I think the sending off probably helped Celtic more than it helped Rangers, because it kind of made it the decision for Brendan what to do and the way the game was going to go. But Rangers started brilliantly, and I was surprised at that, because I thought Celtic are known for their starts, you know, and I think everybody was expecting Rangers to come out firing, and I thought Celtic would have been able to combat that. But listen, it was a bad mistake for the first goal, wasn't it? And then
that said, a great finish from Winder. They still have run 40
yards. Because it's a difficult one, that, because you've got all that time to think about what you're going to do, you know. Any striker you speak to, they like to do things quick, you know. And when you get 30, 40 yards to run in, and you're, what am I going to do? So it's a great finish. But listen, I think there's loads of great goals in the game as well. You know,
logic,
every goal was a great goal. Listen, we could sit here and pick the faults in it, you know, but I think the goals, the Edouard goal as well, you knew he's going to come in, he's right fit as well. You could see that, you know. And so defensively, you're thinking, oh, show him down the line. But
he's a big boy, Goss, wasn't it? He's lovely on the ball, yeah. But I think defensively he's, he shows him on his right foot. Yeah. But Morelos misses a sitter, didn't he? It's an absolute sitter. Is that the worst you've seen?
What's up, Scotty Burke there?
Because he had him and Van Vossen's I think his is worse.
You could see he was absolutely distraught at the time up. I mean, the Sky camera zoomed in on him quite a bit, and you could see him just into the.
That was because his haircut fell, wasn't it, David?
And what about your old mate, Scott Bain?
Done great.
Drafted in at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Delighted for him. Kick-off. Great guy, Benny. I was at Dundee with him. Top keeper. At Dundee, he was. I used to say to him, you're the best player I've ever played now. I obviously was joking, but he was top at Dundee. Whole year, never made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Not one goal was his fault. You think he got your player of the year that year? And he's a confident boy. See, when he got told, I think he said he got told half it, it would not have bothered him one bit. He'd have relished it, I know.
He looked
really calm, didn't he? That's the kind of boy he is.
Because they score after a minute, he's not a touch. Mm-hmm. And then his first one, he dives out and takes a clean one. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I mean, even his kicking and all that, he looked really, really assured. Because the boys say, like, want to play you. Sometimes I keep just wanting to launch it, but they're told to just keep playing.
Even the second goal comes for him passing to Brown, didn't it? He could have just launched up the pitch, but he was playing at Alloa 4 years ago. It's crazy, I think.
Freed by Aberdeen,
that's right.
There's so many boys. You've got Kenny McLean up at Aberdeen, was the same. You get freed by Rangers, you know. So it just shows you that a wee bit of rejection at 16, 17, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world either, does it?
No. Yeah, I know. I mean, we're not going to solve all the problems here in the space of a few minutes, but what do you, if you're Graham Murty or you're a Rangers director, what are you sitting saying in terms of what are the priorities between now and the start of the season in August to try and improve the Rangers team and shut the gap?
I think they need to get rid of a few players, don't they? The boys that Cassini brought in, I think, first of all, they need to get rid of them. I don't think it could be good for the squad today, boys that have been brought in and they're not playing. It affects Hamney, I think, definitely. But I think the signings have been good, and if they can continue on these sort of signings, I think they'll get better. I definitely think they've improved under Murty. Mm-hmm. Whether he's the man to take them forward, I don't know. I think if they're going to compete with Celtic, I think you need a top manager.
Graham Murty's an old teammate of yours, Andy, from Reading. Does he deserve a crack at it for next season?
I think it was a bit naive, a couple of his decisions the other day. Brendan's obviously got a wee bit more experience on him, but it's not a job to get experience, is it? Let's be honest, it's not a job to make mistakes in. Brendan's maybe went and made his mistakes at other clubs, it's Swansea or Reading or Watford, wherever he was, you know, so it's a difficult one, you know. It's
so if it's not Murty, then realistically, who is that?
Well, that's the thing. Well, listen, it depends on what kind of budget they're going to have in the summer. See if they've got 20 million, they could maybe go and get a big name, a bigger name, you know. But it's whether that it depends on budgets, I think. I think if you've got 15, 20 million in the summer, you could maybe get a half decent manager. If no, you're maybe going to need to stay with Murty. And I don't think that'd be. I think he's done a good job. I think he's went in there and settled the ship. And they looked a lot more organised than previous Old Firm games.
Yeah.
Is it a big one then for Murty, Simon, in terms of trying to get the job for next season? Does it come down to the 90-minute Scottish Cup semi final, the William Hill Scottish Cup, April 15th? Is that?
I would think so.
Do you think it hinges on that?
I would think so. Obviously, I think finishing second would help him as well. But the semi final is a big one, isn't it? If he beats Celtic in the semi-final, I think he's got the job. If he doesn't, I think if they get beat, I don't think it'll hinder. I don't think he'll lose the job if they lose. Like Andy says, money will come into it, but I think Rangers fans will want a bigger name than Graham Murty as a manager for next year. If they're going to challenge Brendan Rodgers, they need a bigger name.
If you've been realistic as well, they're still a good few years behind Celtic as well. You know, they're no. I can't see them challenge. I mean, I know the game was close on Sunday, but
over the course of 38 games in terms of the squad, you still think that Celtic over the course there's still a good size gap there, isn't
there? Aye, there still is, and there's still. I mean, I think it depends on what Celtic do in the summer as well. I think it's a massive window for Celtic as well, because that'll show people there. Intentions as well for next year.
And I suppose you look at the quality of Dembele's finish of the second goal, the quality of his pass for Edward, yeah. mm-hmm. for the winning goal, all of a sudden Dembele looks back to the guy he was
he's
last
a top
season,
player.
Which A, is good news for Celtic, but B, as you say, that is probably going to lead to attracting interest yeah. in the summer.
Mm-hmm. I think he's a top player. I think he's been criticised quite a bit this year, but when you're a player, you know you're selling. When you're injured all the time and you're coming back, it's hard. It takes you three or four games to get going, but he looks a top player to me.
I think he looks a big guy. It takes a bit to get fit. Uh-huh. You know, you play with some guys that, I mean, I was always fit at the start of the season, but you get guys that would take 8, 9, 10 games, you yeah. know, that just to get up to speed.
It's,
and
took, me it's took me 12 years.
But, you know what I mean? It's like, uh-huh. he takes a wee bit, because you seen him when he first came back and he looked miles off it, mm-hmm. you know, but you see him on Saturday, Sunday again and he just seems to be getting sharper and sharper. And I think he's a big time player, isn't he?
He likes the big games.
You know,
uh-huh.
I think, like...
Seems to like Ibrox as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I think the bigger the game for him, the more... You know, and that's where you judge your top players, isn't it? You know, they do it in the big occasions, and he's always turned up for the big games.
Well, one of the other big games over the weekend was Man United against Liverpool. Man United defeated Liverpool 2-1. But what's created a lot of the headlines has been in the aftermath of that game. Jamie Carragher, the former Liverpool captain, one of the main pundits on Sky Sports, caught up in camera. A spitting incident at a 14-year-old girl in a car with her dad after they were winding him up. What do you make of the incident? Because it's not been pleasant at all, has it?
No, he's absolutely lost his head, isn't he? I couldn't see when I first seen it on the telly. I actually couldn't believe what he'd done. I mean, it's how do you defend it? It's so hard. Obviously, he's probably had a lot of stick after the game, which people didn't realise how much it can get to you and how angry it can make you. And he's just lost his head, isn't he? And it's one of these things, whether he loses his job or not, I don't know, I think he might.
The thing is, you say, how do you defend it? Bottom line is...
It's indefensible, isn't it? It's indefensible, but listen, there might be other stuff with it we don't know about that's went on or whatever. Listen, everybody's made mistakes. But we live in a day now where it's mobile phones, but in our day you could maybe get away with the odd mistake, you know, that's... You don't get away with that when it's videoed and listen, the guy's got a 14-year-old in his car and he's videoing it. And, I mean, he doesn't come out much either. I mean, what's he then? You know, a grown man with a 14-year-old daughter in the car and he's shouting at Jamie Carragher. But that's not to excuse Jamie Carragher, because what he's done is, as we say, is indefensible.
The thing that gets me with Carragher and Neville, they're so harsh on people when they make mistakes. I remember the West Ham boy spatting somebody in a game on his shirt on another player's shirt, and actually slotted. I think they were calling for him to be at the club and stuff like that. So if you're going to be that critical of people, then you can't go about doing it yourself.
Yeah. Well, Sky Sports suspended him last night from duty. He was meant to be working at the Stoke City Manchester City game. They changed the whole format of the programme last night to cope with Jamie's absence. Do you think it will be a suspension? You'll see him back in the screens, or
it'd be a great shame if he got sacked, because I think him and Neville are brilliant. Every Monday I watch it 7 o'clock to see what they two have got to say. I think they're brilliant at their job. And
that said, Sky Sports, you know, they have had other employees that have stepped out of line, you know, and they don't mess about.
Man, but, suits them up. Yeah,
Keezy, Richard Keezy.
But I think he was tweeting about it yesterday.
Was he? I never seen that.
Yeah. But listen, Kirsty Halleck could get done for drunk driving. You'd argue that's a worse offence
than
what Jamie Carragher done. But yeah, she kept her job. So listen, I think he'll keep his job, because what Simon said, he's very good at it. And people. And there's always going to be people that are going to be offended with things, you know. But listen, as I say, I'm not trying to defend them, but listen, I think they'll leave it a couple of weeks and let it die down, and then
probably see what kind of reaction is from the family as well. Because obviously he has apologised, he wants to go and visit them in person, and maybe if the family make a public statement
defending him,
or just saying that we accept his apology, you know, it's a moment of madness, as he said himself on the Sky News interview.
He did look sick, didn't he?
It was like an out of body experience, you know. He can't play. But you mentioned, Andy, the if you want to call it the invasion of mobile phones into people's lives and stuff like that. How has it changed that, you know, from 20 years ago when you were playing the United Kilmarnock Reading?
I dread to think what some of the things that they had on mobile phones with me and night shooting and stuff, you know. But that was the way it was. That was 20 years ago. You could go out and have a pint with the punters, and there wasn't anybody trying to stitch you up as much, yeah. You know. I mean, there's people, it's very invasive, isn't it? You're sitting maybe having a meal and there's people there trying to take photographs of you and things like that. Just common courtesy. If you see somebody out with, you know, with their wife or their family, I mean, the guy's on his way home for work and there's people shouting and bawling and then putting camera phones up. The guy's looking for a reaction, let's be honest. Jamie Carragher's given them that reaction, but that's, a lot of the time, that's what these people want, you know, because I'm sure.
But it's modern society now.
So where did they, I mean, that guy, the guy obviously went to the press with it. You know, if you were that upset, you wouldn't, you know, I mean, he's maybe made a couple of quid at it as well, the guy, he probably has, you know, but that's, people have always got that kind of wee angle, haven't they, when they've got the mobile phone out and trying to get a reaction.
The Sunderland player, was it Dan Gibson?
Him and Aiden,
a couple of beers in the pub and saying a few things about Sunderland and next thing it appears, and I don't know, people, particularly if you've had a couple of drinks, but there's no hiding place anymore.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's mobile phones, they're a good thing, but they're a bad thing as well, you know, because there's no, I mean, some of the nights that we had and some of the things that went on, if they'd have been videoed, they'd have been...
He'd be in Barrel.
Aye.
Big Steve Keane got done as well, didn't he? Remember he was talking about Sam Allardyce?
That's right. The Blackburn. Sam's is more of a stingray than a proper organised stingray.
Remember Steve Keane was talking about Sam Allardyce?
Yeah, that's right, aye.
Big Sam with a Leonard, wouldn't he? But
there's so many.
See, even that Twitter, though, people just think they've got a divine right to video and speak to people how they want. See, on Twitter, it's... The way... See if, right, you do bad at your job, you play a bad game, and you go on Twitter and you get abused. See, the people that are abusing you, see, if they were to get abused at their job, they'd be the first to be in at HR or to the police, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they had a job like it, is it? Where you're at your work and there's 5,000-10,000 people calling you, can have any name under the sun, and you're meant to just, you know, could you imagine getting into an office and there's people just shouting your shite when you're doing your job?
Or a tradesman comes into your house to do some work,
and
you're
absolutely slaughtered. That's, and then a football player reacts and everybody's up in arms, you know, they're human beings, aren't they? They're going to make mistakes. You don't know, he's maybe been having a bad couple of days before that. There's maybe stuff going on in his personal life and he's reacted to it, you know. We're very quick to judge in this country.
So to sum it up then, to move it forward, one word answers. No, I'll ask two questions. First of all, do you think Sky will stand by Jamie Carragher?
I think they'll stand by him. Huh?
Yes. Would you stand by Jamie Carragher?
Nah, I'd sack him.
Andy, do you think Sky will
stand by him? I think Sky will stand by him and everybody deserves a second chance, so I would stand by him.
We'll see what happens over the next few days. Down south as well, we'll stay in the English Premier League. West Ham at home to Burnley, 3-0 defeat. The fans have just absolutely, their patience is gone now, isn't it? David Sullivan, David Gold been targeted by the fans, been having to be removed from the director's box. Mark Noble with the fan, the West Ham captain, talk about playing games behind closed doors. Davy Moyes still try to keep them up, they're on that 30 point mark, still need to get to 36, 37. What did you make of that whole stuff on Saturday, Andy?
I feel sorry for the West Ham fans because they were sold this dream, weren't they? Mm-hmm. They were sold that we go here and we push on and we try and go for Champions League and we do all this. So they were sold this dream and it's turned into a bit of a nightmare, isn't it? I don't think the vast majority of them wanted to go to that stadium anyway. I think they were quite happy with where they were, but it was to Davy Money. And listen, I think the guys run that club with a couple of chances as well, aren't they? They promised the world. I think you get chased out of Birmingham as well, didn't they, for the exact same thing. But the fans there don't miss a boot, do they?
Well, our old pal Frank McAvaney still, you know, get great affiliation with West Ham, a great affection for the club, and just exactly as Andy said there, Simon, he didn't think it was the right thing to move away from Upton Park, and it's almost as if the club, in terms of the eyes of the dyed-in-the-wool fan there, has lost part of its soul.
Definitely. I mean, Big Moyes, he can pick his jobs, can't he? Sunderland and then the mess at West Ham, but it's hard as well for a club, because if you do stay in the stadium, fancy, or why are we not moving, because you see Tottenham getting a new stadium, why are we not keeping up with Tottenham? You do try to do something good. And then the moment they want to go back to the old way, so it's difficult as well.
But wasn't it, because it's that far away from, they're an East End club, isn't it? And that's it's a good bit away, and I think travel and Listen,
try and get up to Peterhead on a Tuesday night,
it's tradition, people get used to certain things, don't they, you know, and it seems a bit, I mean, they've had loads of
problems. But they've spent a fortune though, isn't it? I mean, they bought Andy Carroll.
No, I think
Arnautovic was a fortune in the summer.
I think they've spent like 16 million or something.
And net right. spend.
Aye. Net spend, right, okay. Spend. Uh-huh.
But one thing I think even you mentioned Birmingham, you look at the record at Birmingham and at West Ham, one thing that employees at the club will see about particular managers, they're very loyal guys, they're not like one of these, yeah. you know, uh-huh. owners yeah. that just bump after three games, mm-hmm. you're out the door, you know, yeah. they are quite, as I say, loyal. Have you ever been at clubs, junior careers, where there's been that kind of tension between the stands and the board, and you thought, oof, I had it affects the dressing room?
Talking to West Ham, De Canio, when we were at Swindon, we got, I think De Canio had spent a fortune, I think he was close to getting the club bust. He was getting fucking boys for Czech Republic, £8,000 a week or something in League 2.
Is that you? Right?
Wouldn't have been sitting here if I wasn't me. I remember new owners got it taken in, never forget it, man. The assistant comes into the changing room, there's a meeting in the meeting room in 10 minutes, we're all standing, the gaffer comes in. Listen lads, gangsters have taken over the club. Last night they phoned me in my house, I'm standing in my pants, and I say to them, I'm standing with a kitchen knife, and I'm saying, you come to 1 Ransbury Square, and I will fight you now. Him and the owners, and he's like, they're going to take over the club lads, and if it kicks off, I need to know, do you back me? And we're thinking, is he talking about in a fight or is? But ended that a week later, he resigned because resigned because of the new owners that had taken over. Fans were in uproar, man, because they absolutely loved him. And we, I don't think we won a game after it. It's not a nice thing, you know. The owners used to come in and have meetings with us, and there was 5 heavies coming in and having a meeting with us.
Before you tell any experience you've had, just to get your take on. What do you think of Simon's Paolo Di Canio Welsh accent? I didn't know he grew up in Cardiff.
I don't know.
Oh, you'd be hanging about John Hartson too much. But did you ever have it at all, like,
no,
all your time to D United,
Kilmarnock, Reading? We were always, obviously the year we went down with D United, wasn't a very happy time.
Was that in the playoff against Thistle?
No, we came up. Oh, we came back up. We came back up that year. The year we went down, I don't think the fans were very happy. We just kind of went into threefold. I've never really been when a club's went into administration. I always get out before it. You know what I mean?
You put them in there, <didn't>
so I've never.
What about the time when you were there? But when you all had to take wage cuts, it was Eddie Thompson. Aye. And Ian McCall was the manager.
That was a great story. Boys still piss herself about that to this day. I went in, I came in about 3 games into the season, and went up to signed a contract. So say I was on X amount and I was on £500 appearance money, so I went up, signed it, came down the stair, and I've called a meeting, and so the boys are like, what the fuck's this all about? So there was a cash flow problem. Yeah, this is and any of your appearance money, your win bonuses, you only get to the end of the season. But I'd only signed a contract 30 seconds before it. And as soon as I came down, as soon as he says that, all the boys are just looking at me and fucking challenging, or they're just absolutely caning me, you know what I mean? I just came down, I've just signed a 3-year contract and I'm on 500 appearance and we're on £800 a win or something. But to be fair to we Eddie, we go at the end of the season, we go it's every penny. So it was actually good. It was it worked out better, you know.
That would have been a quiet summer, eh?
Oh, aye.
just in time for entry.
And we did a good season. I think we finished about 4th or 5th when I went there. I went there, we were bolting the league, but as I said to them, I told them I was winning the top 6 for Christmas. And, but no, that was the only time that, and even then it was fine. But you were always worried about come end of the season, you're not going to get this money, but sure enough, that's how we still try to, me Stevie Thompson still try to get money back for that, you know.
That's why now we know why they had to sell the training ground a couple of weeks ago. Final part of the programme, we're going to speak about the Scotland squad. It's Mark Guidi here with Andy McLaren and Simon Ferry. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. So, Scotland squad, and of course we've got Andy with us, Simon. I don't know if you know, Andy is very unique when it comes to Scotland players. Andy got two caps in the one day, he's first and he's last. And he played for Scotland. I love that one. Played for Scotland against Poland and me, Grinny.
Me and Ken, I'm really sure got home three between us.
But you look at the squad, Big Alex, first one, they're playing at home to Costa Rica in a friendly next week, then away to Hungary. It's a double header. First of all, backroom squad, what do you make of his appointments? Peter Grant, James McFadden, and Stevie Woods.
Well, I want to know personally Stevie Woods, who's top man, great goalie coach. Anyone that I know that's worked under Woods really enjoys it. I think he's is it innovative? Is that the word?
Innovative. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There you go. Oh, a bit of culture to the podcast. I think he's got great sessions he puts on for the goalies. I think he's improved Craig Gordon massively since he's been at Celtic. So I think he's a great one, and obviously Faddy's a great guy, top man. And he's been such a great servant of Scotland. I think the players will really, really relate to Faddy. He's been in their shoes playing in big games for Scotland. I think he's a great appointment, and I'll leave it at that.
I think we Faddy as well, because he's no, there's that wee gap there as well, isn't there? There's no that, because I think Peter and the manager are a wee bit older, so he's kind of still that kind of age, so he can be that kind of link. I was at Reading with Peter, but I can't remember, so I can't say nothing about it. I remember him taking the warm up one day. I think that's
about
it.
Are we getting the bad story? Peter was there. We talked. Peter was there as a coach. Tommy bring him as a coach.
Well, I was there, and Peter came in. And I'm going to be honest. I genuinely can't remember much about it. I can remember him taking a warm up one day, and I think that's as much as I can remember. So.
Did he like a beer? Did he have a beer with you?
I don't know.
Can't remember anything.
No, I don't think many people want to have a beer with me now.
Andy ordered up a few for Peter, but Peter never got the chance to drink them. But you look through the squad, I'm going to just throw something out there, and I know this is just squad for friendlies. Obviously, Lee Griffiths has been injured, so he's not in it. So we've got Ollie McBurney as a striker, Swansea on loan at Barnsley. We've got Jason Cummings, Nottingham Forest, on loan at Rangers. And we've got Matt Phillips, who's more of a wide player rather than a number nine. And if you look at the number nines we've had in the past 3 or 4 years, Stephen Fletcher, Stephen Naismith, even Jordan Rhodes, Chris Martin, you know, I'm looking at them thinking, wait a minute, where are the goals coming from over the next year or two?
It looks like a Craig Levein squad, doesn't it?
Because I know we've always spoken about, we need a central defensive partnership. Now I'm looking at it thinking, yeah, we still need that. But I'm thinking, without Lee Griffiths, where are our number nines?
I can't believe he's got three strikers. Look at the amount of midfielders and defenders. Do you think, they only play one up front now, didn't they? I think that kind of shows you he's going to play. He's going to be...
Even in the midfielders, there's not anyone that gets you 10, 15 a season, is there? There's no midfielder that breaks in the box and scores goals.
James scored a few this year, to be fair, as well.
I mean, for the central position, you know what I mean? Like a centre midfielder breaking it in the box.
But just to go back to it, where are our goals? Where are our number nines?
Listen, Griffiths is your man, isn't he? If Griffiths isn't doing it, then I think we're...
Jason Cummins can't get in the Rangers team.
Yeah,
he's not starting.
He's
games.
Not playing regularly. Matt Phillips, I've not seen him score.
Matt
a goal.
Phillips, West Brom are both in the league. He's not scored a goal this season.
He's a wide player. Aye. He's not a number nine. He's a wide player up and down.
He's another. He's James Forrest. He's one of them. He's Ryan Fraser. There's a muchness about it. You know, I think. I think you say Matt Phillips isn't a centre forward. So.
As much as I like Kevin McDonald, is there a need for Kevin McDonald and Tom Kearney to be in the two centre midfielders for Fulham?
So maybe a kid, look, you don't know, he's maybe just in terms of call-offs, and maybe he's just going to almost kind of split the squad in two in terms of Friday night Costa Rica, then the Tuesday in Hungary. You look at the defenders, the guys that are involved there, and maybe one or two aren't. Who is Scott McKenna? Is he the real deal in terms of emerging as one of our central defenders?
I think he's got one thing that we've not had for a lot of years at centre half, and that's pace. He's quick and he's aggressive. I would play McKenna. I'd like to see how he does. I think he does well for Aberdeen.
I think we need a centre half, don't we?
Uh-huh. So McKenna and Mulgrew, is
that? I would go Mulgrew, yeah. The big silky Mulgrew.
Mulgrew's big top goal scorer down in England as well. He scored about 15 goals, hasn't he?
What would you do with the Robertson Tierney situation?
That's a conundrum. Yeah. I was speaking to Matt McGee last week, and Matt McGee mentioned that a couple of times they played Kieran Tierney at right back, but Matt McGee said that him and Gordon Strachan did flip with the idea of Kieran Tierney at left back and Andrew Robertson up one. Uh-huh. And he said, and Robertson was really up for it, he said, but then Gordon just kind of had second thoughts about it. But
I think you've got to play
them. Could you see them going that way, having the two of them dovetailing?
Or it depends. Listen, as Tierney gets older, he maybe become a left centre half as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the other option, isn't it? You know, but I don't think playing one of them at right backs, you know.
I think further up the pitch, if you're a winger, you can play on either wing, can you? Yeah, but a fullback is different.
It's hard. The full game's, it's a different angle, you know. I can't remember, I used to play right and left, and when you first done it, it took a bit of getting used to it, but after a wee while you get used to it, but as a fullback, it's totally different, because your angles are all different as well, as people are running at you and things like that
you
as well.
You could see
Tierney,
as much as he still played well, right, but you could still see he was a shadow of what he is.
Yeah.
Because he's just saying, his body shape, he looked a bit uncomfortable, didn't he?
Yeah, because you're... Listen, you're not knock it by the boy, and he's having second thoughts, isn't he? Because usually he just goes and goes by people and gets balls in the box, where you can't do that. Well, listen, you should be able to do it both sides, but as I say, he's obviously stronger than his left.
Also, we were talking about the great options that we have at left back, and another concern for me, right back, I'm saying that I don't see a natural successor to Alan Hunt. Uh-huh. I know Callum Patterson's in there, but he's been playing more as a midfielder.
He's been playing up
for
front
Cardiff,
as well, hasn't
he? So who do we have? I'm just looking through it and I'm thinking, I think there's hope there for Scotland in the future, but also saying there's definitely still concerns about two or three key positions.
You've got three left backs in there. Douglas is a left back as well, you know, so there's three people that play the same position. So you've got one, two, four to play the other three positions, basically. Unless you're going to play
three at the back with two wing backs, maybe.
But yeah. Who do you play? Who's your three at the back?
You could play Tierney in the back, couldn't you? Three.
You could.
With McKenna and Mulgrew.
Maybe Callum Patterson is your
right wing back. And Robertson did the left wing back.
I wouldn't have Grant Huntley.
But then you need to play two up front if you're going to play that. And it doesn't look like there's two strikers.
No, they'll maybe play one off.
I suppose you could float. I mean, you could
Christie
in the
ten.
I do like Christie.
Could Murphy float into that? No, is Murphy more wide? Can Murphy float in there? And what's the other thing as well? We've got Scott Brown's retired. We've now got Scott McTominay.
He's
played, but I'm just throwing it out there that he's played half a dozen games for Man United. He's certainly looking the part. He's got the trust of Jose Mourinho. But we've been in this movie many times as a national team. You think back this time last year, it was Oliver Burke, the £15 million man, and all of a sudden he's a new Gareth Bale. Just that. Is it fair to have the hopes of our nation on the shoulders of a 21-year-old with half a dozen first-team games under his belt?
We're going to... Remember when Darren Fletcher first got in and he came to play for Scotland, and Scotland fans were wanting him to go and no be Darren Fletcher. They were wanting him to go and be like a Man U player. And you know, and McTominay's good at breaking things up. I've watched a couple of games and he breaks things up and gives it to one of
the eyes.
So that's what will happen. I think that we'll expect too much of him, you know, when he's
and
a 21-year-old.
Aye, yeah.
Because you're expecting him to do things that he can't do, you know, where he goes and wins balls and gives it to other people that plays, you know, and I think we'll expect him to score hat-tricks.
Uh-huh.
And,
you know yourself, it's easier to play with better players.
Well, that's where the problem for me is going to be with McTominay, because we're going to expect... Because he's playing with Man U. It was like, we used to date with Dan Fletcher, don't we? You're expecting him to do everything. When he didn't do that at Man U.
That's Peter Grant.
Seeing you still owe my bud.
Who's your captain in that team? Who's your captain, Mark?
I would go between, flicker the coin between Andy Robertson and Kieran Tierney, because I think both of them will start for the next decade for Scotland players. So I think the longevity is there. Both excellent footballers, more importantly as a role of captain, both excellent men, excellent professionals.
Good examples.
You look at Jurgen Klopp, they're saying, you know, give it to Andy Robertson. Kenny Dalglish said, give it to Andy Robertson. You've got Brendan Rodgers at Celtic saying, give it to Kieran Tierney. I think for that situation, Alec McLeish is very well off.
I think so as well. I think it needs to be one of the two. Both at the top of their game. Good
so
age.
One, who would it be?
I would go Andy Robertson.
Andrew Robertson.
I'd go Andy Robertson.
Who do you have the Scotland captaincy to?
Aye, Robertson. I'm giving it. Robertson. Change, can it? I don't know.
He's playing in a top team, isn't he? Yeah. Top team. A top
is
team.
Is he a shout or is he a... Captains have changed now a bit, haven't they? Yeah. You know, he used to be...
Well, you look at Dan Fletcher was never...
No, I know,
a screamer,
I know.
Was
yeah, he led by example.
You know, particularly I think as well, you know, guys better than me, when you're away with international squads, it's about the captain having the respect that you don't step out of line. Yeah. The captain only has to give you a look. You
know, mm-hmm. Yeah. A minute, but has he got that?
I don't know if he's got that, you're right. I don't know.
It's probably the ones that will just pick it up and grow into
grow
it.
Yeah, yeah.
The boys at Liverpool. But just to round it off then, for the podcast today, just we've not got the crystal ball here, but in terms of when we get to the real stuff, September, October, November, Albania and Israel and the Nations Cup, can you see us topping that group?
I think we've got to be looking to be topping it anyway. Well, he's getting what, 6 months run at it.
Four games.
Listen, I think the two games in the summer are going to be a bit hit and miss, if I'm being perfectly honest. I think me and you might get a call up for that. So, I think they can. Listen, they're tough games. People just say Albania qualified for the last Euros, didn't they?
Israel as well have been more than decent.
Yeah, good team,
right? They've got a few teams that do all right in the Europa League and stuff like that. So, listen, just typical Scotland, isn't it? Because, oh, it's Israel and Albania, we should automatically beat them. But I think they'll be tough games for us.
Simon?
I don't see it, but I'm being perfectly honest. I think Israel are a good team. I think Israel will top the group.
Yeah?
Uh-huh. Woo. Sorry to be negative, man.
Well, that's a nice way to finish. He's just trying to do it to get to that end of season two. Peterhead winning promotion. Oh, yeah, son.
I'll be in Magaluf.
You could spend your promotion bonus in Cancun. Just get them to drop you off at Cancun. The way back. Listen, we've had a great 45 minutes with Simon Ferry and Andy McLaren. Simon, thanks again for being here with us.
No worries, mate.
And Andy, always a pleasure.
Cheers, Mark.
To have you. We'll speak to you next week. I'm glad that you've tuned in. I hope you enjoyed the 45 minutes. This was Open Goal, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Speak to you soon. Bye-bye.